Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
We know coaches got to manage egos. GM's got to manage egos. Is CJ Stroud the one that is going to have to manage the most egos this offseason? Or this season, I should say. Landry Locker, B. Scott, Figgy Fig with you. We're 8 days away from the draft. By the way, a little programming note for you. Uniform's going to be released the 23rd at 10 a.m. Going to be a party afterwards. How do I need to go to the party if I've already seen them?
Here for a party, though. Here for a party.
Yeah, cool. 10 a.m. Uniform's going to be released right here at 11 a.m. Cal and Hannah McNair in studio.
Uh-oh.
How about that?
She's going to call you out, man.
For what?
She's going to step to you.
Oh, I'm going to call her out about one of those threads. I promise you that. All right, there's one of those. I don't know
she
about
She's going to step to you, man.
Oh, she will. She always does. It's all good.
I'm going to call you out right now.
11 a.m. Tuesday.
I'm going to call you out right now for defending the wave but not being down for a party. I thought we were having fun. What happened to that? We were just doing that an hour ago. Why are we raining on people's parades? Why are we putting a dent into people's fun? And you don't want to go to the party, but you want to stand up in front of Spo? You want to stand your tall ass in front of Spo?
And do
while he's trying to fill out his scorecard?
I'm not pro-wave. I'm anti-weirdo acting anti-wave. That's what I am. Like y'all, I don't know why y'all care so much. That's for me. That's my problem with the wave.
Who cares?
Yeah, it's a wave. I mean, they're excited. They're in the game. They're doing their thing. Someone on the text line talking about the wave. I guess he thought he was talking good trash. He said, save it for your Little League game. The stands don't even go all the way around. What Little League ballpark do that?
Do they do a wave at a Little
impossible.
League game?
Yeah, it's impossible. There's just bleachers behind. It's not
that,
impossible.
That would be actually bad.
It's not impossible. It has to go all the way around. So that's when keeping it real goes wrong, sir. Thanks for listening, though.
Ooh, what a tragic wave it would be.
It'd be just there, and then, I don't know, it wouldn't be a wave. Let's hear from CJ Stroud talking about having to satisfy a lot of egos and receivers. He did it at Ohio State, multiple first-round picks. Now he's got Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs, and perhaps that experience could be a valuable resource for CJ Stroud. Here's the man himself talking about it.
It's football, you know. You want to be, it's not good to be the lone wolf, you know. You want to have a team that, not even a team, but a room, not only of dogs and guys that can make you better, but guys you can compete with, you know. Like, and it's all friendly and love, out of love, the competition that we're trying to build, you know. But like D'Amico always says, man, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, for me, having that background of playing with so many talented guys is amazing, you know. I always tell my guys, man, if you're open, you're gonna get the ball. And I pride myself on sitting in the pocket and making sure that those guys can eat. And it's up to me to make sure that those guys, you know, get what they deserve and get paid and all those good things that come with having a successful year.
All right, there you go. So CJ Stroud having to manage these egos, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell.
Am I overplaying it by feeling like this is the thing to be least worried about with CJ Stroud in terms of like how he translates to year two, about, you know, his makeup, his leadership, how he can manage egos?
Nah, like that's one of his strengths.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm much more intrigued by and interested to see, like, what he's, like, what the adjustment is going to be to him from the league and how he adjusts to the adjustment. Like, hard old football necessarily. But in terms of this part, like, I feel like this is going to be a strength for CJ Stroud. Like, managing egos, the Stephon Diggs thing specifically, I feel like he is sort of perfectly built for that. Perfectly built for a receiver like that.
I mean, I think that probably comes into play when you make this decision, I would think.
It should.
I mean, I know he said he was surprised when he found out, but they had to have at least ran it by him. Hey, what was Stephon like when you were at the Pro Bowl? I noticed that y'all were talking. What did you think of Stephon Diggs? Do you think that Stephon Diggs and you could function? What was it like? I mean, it wasn't – I don't think he was blindsided by it. I do think he's equipped – to be able to handle this type of thing. 100%. I think he can handle it.
Yeah, no, I think, like, to me, the whole looking at the receivers that he's dealt with before, I have a tough time believing that this sort of thing, just to a lesser degree, but, I mean, you got to think about Ohio State. Biggie, you know, obviously, we all know.
OH.
Dude, that's a big deal. Like, for all intents and purposes, locally, you know, how they operate there, that's the professional football team there. Like, they are basically under the same sort of lights and scrutiny and pressure, and the talent was what it was. And C.J. Stroud has done this before. And then this part for me is not necessarily a shot at Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen, but to me the makeup of your quarterback matters a lot when you have the history with Stephon Diggs, you have the information.
Get the race card, please.
I ain't say the racial makeup. Race car! Not the racial makeup.
We're going Kirk Cousins,
the
man.
The personal.
We're going Kirk Cousins.
The personality makeup. I've done this before. I compared it similarly to Deshaun Watson. I don't know if Deshaun Watson has necessarily the best personality for a diva wide receiver like this. I don't know if we didn't find out last year that maybe Jalen Hurts isn't per se equipped with the personality to deal with a volatile receiver on the sideline. I do see CJ Stroud being able to handle it. So, you know, race, like regardless of race, really particularly.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
The makeup, though, I do think it matters. Like, hey, we got to do.
I just don't think that Josh Allen strikes me as a.
That's what I'm saying.
Very fragile dude, though.
No. Well, not necessarily fragile, but how do they. Like, there's a difference between fragility and just being straight up non-confrontational or not knowing what to do when. Conflict or confrontation is when you're confronted with it, right? Like, to me, without really knowing Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen on a personal level at all, they don't strike me as having the same kind of leadership qualities as a CJ Stroud, being able to unify and also be able to just kind of just stand up and say, hey, you know what? We're not gonna go for it. It's gonna be like this, and then kind of roll from there. Like, he said it in the press conference a couple days ago. I'm the leader of this team. Like, yeah. The offense and the whole team, really. He said that.
I wonder what he's going to, you know, how does he handle adversity? How does CJ Stroud handle it? I think it'll be fine. It's just, and what does it look like? You know, does it look like Stephon Diggs getting upset? Does it, I mean, like, how does CJ handle adversity will be interesting. And, I mean, that's something that, you know, I think he'll be pretty equipped to do. I think you're in pretty good hands with CJ and with D'Amico and with the other leadership.
That's where I was going to get at. Because to me, the maybe under-discussed part, and because we focus so much on CJ, but the under-discussed part with the Stephon Diggs sort of conflict is the relationship with the coaching staff, right? And so Where does CJ factor into that? Does he just stay out of that, or does he take a leadership role of saying, hey, we're not going to badger? I'm not saying that this is necessarily going to happen, but if it does, we're not going to badger the offensive coordinator. We're not going to complain about the play calling. We're not going to be yelling at, we're certainly not going to be yelling at D'Amico. I would just advise against that in general. Like, I, you know, we're not doing that. So, like, what role does he play in? Is it necessarily just Stephon Diggs going off on CJ or going off on somebody on the offense? Or is he like a buffer as well with the coaching staff if need
be? You put a visual in my head that I don't even want to think about.
Nah, hey, don't do it.
I don't know how I would react to a yelling match between D'Amico and CJ.
I just, hey, oh, huh.
Yeah, I don't know how I would react. I think I would side with D'Amico.
Well, yeah, he's the, I mean, no disrespect to CJ, but he's the more.
It would never happen, but it's a kind of a far-fetched idea. But I don't know how that would make me feel. That would be heartbreaking.
Do you think I'm giving them too much credit to assume that they neither one of them would allow that to happen? Like it's certainly not in public.
I don't think D'Amico is like that. I don't think that's his mindset.
Well, I'm not saying that they'd never have a shouting match or yell, like, because I think that that's totally in play, especially in football. Like, just the nature of what they're doing. But I feel like both of them would have too much of a presence of mind or an awareness to allow that to be a public, an optic.
Yeah.
I don't see them not being conscious enough to avoid something.
I also think that when you look at, like, when we talk about diva wide receivers, and we can just go down the list, like, of what we, like, where the term diva wide receiver kind of seemed to have originated. I think it was kind of a 90s thing. It was a T.O. Moss type of thing. But if you just look at, if we're just doing a history lesson, Landry Locker, B. Scott Figgy with you, we're 8 days away from the draft. But Randy Moss, he butted heads with Dennis Green, and then he butted heads with Lane Kiffin, I think it was, with the Raiders.
When he was there, yeah.
Yeah, with the Raiders. T.O. butted heads with Steve Mariucci, butted heads with Andy Reid. I think he kind of butted heads with Bill Parcells a little bit, too. There was that type of thing. And then Diggs with McDermott. There's all these examples. It's never been, that I can think of, and help me out, 713-572-4610. It's never been an example of someone butting heads and clashing with a former player with the presence of D'Amico Ryans. So when you're talking about locker rooms getting blown up, it doesn't seem like that happens. Like Chad Ochocinco, he wasn't butting heads with D'Amico Ryans. And that's why I just don't see how, even if it's not ideal, I don't think it gets like rock bottom bad like we've seen with other, for lack of a better term, quote, diva wide receivers.
Yeah, I feel like it's twofold for a former player that's a coach, especially one like D'Amico, who is still, you know, relatively young, not as far removed from coaching. So he's not like some has-been former player who's not, you know, like, he's still in shape and all of that. To me, you come in with a certain level of credibility because not only are you a former player, but you're not that far removed from the game. And I think you also come in with a different maybe perspective on players when you've been one, and also not that long ago you were one. So to me, it's twofold. The credibility that you have with the players and the perspective that you have on them when you go in having been one. I think that there's something to that, on top of the fact that the dude looked like he still lived. I just, you know, in certain position groups, and quarterback would be one of them, I don't see nobody in that quarterback room that I think is...
You think he's going to whoop your ass or something?
I mean, I don't feel like
he's... Are you going with the Mike Vrabel intimidating presence?
I don't think he's going to whoop your ass as just as much as you're not going to whoop his. And then, so what does that mean? How does that work out? That's all I'm saying. I don't feel like D'Amico's a violent dude or nothing like that. I just feel like if you're going to be yelling at him, challenging him, you might want to keep in mind, dude probably stronger than you if you play a certain position.
We got some news that the Astros, typically the best team in town that people are more excited about. I don't want to say that that's completely flipped, but there are warning signs that the Astros, as we've known them during this phenomenal run, could be kind of crumbling, but help is on the way. Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander, they had a catch this week. I hate when people say that. You played catch.
They played catch.
I don't know where Field of Dream have a catch. What is that? But they played catch.
Had a drink and then had a catch.
Had a catch. Fromber could be back for the road trip, and Justin Verlander is going to be back Friday. So Justin Verlander's pitching in 2 days.
Yeah, I just want him to get back to pitching, because not just with these guys, but it feels like when you factor Lance into it, over the last few years, we've talked way too much about dudes playing catch. It just speaks to how injured the pitchers have been. Like, I have never thought of just playing catch or long toss, and like these phrases that
it goes from catch to long toss to bullpen,
yeah,
to throwing off a mound.
I get it.
To exhibition game, to rehab start, to maybe another rehab start, to
dude, enough already.
He's going to be on the mound. That's a process, man. That's a life we live.
Can he make it three times around the order? To like, oh, okay, man. Can we get some? Can we get two quality starts? I just need.
You're asking for a lot. Have you watched the Astros play baseball this year?
I need the two most accomplished guys on this roster, on the pitching staff at least.
Have you watched the Astros play baseball this year?
To offer some quality starts. Not these cats as much. A little bit of Fromber, but no Verlander. So, nah. And look, got to have some hope somewhere. This is good news.
We got two national days today here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. By the way, just tuning in, Cal and Hannah McNair, they're going to join the show next Tuesday, an hour after the uniforms are released. Cal and Hannah, they're going to join the show at 11 o'clock. Be a celebration of the new unis. Lopez is going to be here.
Wait till he find out.
Can't wait to hear what he's going to
say. He's going to get here early.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just hope they
have. Remember how early he got here with Caserio?
Hey, he was here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Which, as compared to what?
9:30. I hope they got a shirt waiting on them, too. Or a jersey.
Dude, I actually think the gear's going to be fly. I think so, too. I think the gear's going to be nice. The jerseys, we'll see. They might grow on you. One of them, great.
I just think it'd be perfect for Lopez to be the one to have to wear them.
So we have three national days today involving food items. I want to get y'all's take on these food items and how they make you feel.
I know one of them.
Yeah, you do. One of them is bananas. How do y'all feel about bananas? Where does banana rank on your fruit chart?
Yeah, I feel like I've heard Biggie talk about this before, that he hates bananas. I'm good with bananas. I can do bananas.
You don't like bananas?
No.
Why?
Like I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like the way it feels.
The texture?
Yeah, Ugh, man. Really? I don't like the flavor of it.
Damn. No banana pudding?
No.
No.
I even try banana pudding because a lot of people like banana pudding.
It's so good.
I just don't like the taste of bananas,
no,
man.
No, thanks.
Not for everybody. Now, I eat banana pudding anywhere, but I won't eat no banana in public now.
All right.
We're not doing
balls.
That. We're not doing that.
What about cheese balls? Cheese balls, and it's not like cheese balls like me, like real cheese, like cheese balls, like with the crackers and stuff like that. How often do you partake in a cheese ball? I don't even know when the last.
I do it once in a while, but it's a hassle, man.
Man, just give you me, just sit give there me with, some pimento cheese.
You got to sit there with the butter knife, man. And
just mix it in the damn bowl. It's going to get broken up anyways. There's no bigger waste of time than a cheese ball. Just crunch it up like some damn queso. What are we doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't even look good. Put it in a damn salsa bowl, crunch it up, let it be a good dip. We don't need this ball sitting up
there. You got to get the little butter knife and spread it on the cracker.
Stupid, man.
Way unnecessary. I don't know why you would make cheese harder to consume.
Yeah,
the thing is, they like to have it at like receptions and stuff
fancy
like that.
Ass
it's
cheese
just like,
ball.
Man, ain't got time to be trying to do all of this.
Yeah, cheese balls to me is the equivalency of just overthinking it. It is the food equivalency of way overthinking it.
Yeah, what are we doing? And then we have crawfish. It's National Crawfish Day.
Now we talking.
Which I know that Figgy is much down with, the crawfish, the mud bugs.
Yes, sir. It's a place I usually go to called L.A. Crawfish Shack. Not that one. That's a different one.
Okay. Yeah.
It's that one, L.A. Crawfish. Okay. The other one's L.A. Crawfish Shack. Hey, it's a big difference. Difference.
Might be a little bit different how they season it there, man.
It is. So the one I go to is in Harwin, over in the Harwin area, off of Gessner.
Oh yeah.
$5.99 a pound today.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
How
many pounds you getting? Six?
I probably do like two or three. I can't eat that much.
Oh yeah, I do three or four. I eat them things like M&Ms. For real. So yeah, I'm
it's
down.
A lot
with
of
that.
Effort, man.
I do it.
It's a lot of effort.
I mean, if you know how to do it, it's easy.
Yeah, man, yeah, but then it's still, it's that big, man. Like,
hey, it's easy, man.
That's why you get a bunch of pounds. Yeah. You ain't really eating no food, so you got to get a bunch of it just to, you know, in a pretty decent side, just to kind of get full there.
Yeah, it's a lot. Coming up next, lunchtime confessions here on In the Loop. Yesterday, we talked about specific parking spots. I got to confess, I think there is something that has happened in the last few years that all of you businesses out there, y'all need to adjust to it because you're living in the past. It's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Lunchtime confessions. We confess our sins to you, the loophole. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Some of these confessions have to do with sports. Some have nothing to do with sports. We're transparent with you 24/7. Let it hang a little bit lower during lunchtime confessions. It is time to confess. Watch this. All right, so Jack Leiter is making his debut tomorrow for the Texas Rangers, who have recently dethroned the Astros as World Series champs. Astros, though, they got the lead in the Silver Boot standings this year, 4-3. So the joke's on the Rangers.
Yeah.
But my confession is, man, it kind of felt like a kick to the junk that Forrest Whitley, the ghost of Forrest Whitley, 8 years after the Astros selected him in the draft, made his debut yesterday, a very meh debut. And during that time, it was announced that Jack Leiter, the son of Al, one of the more hyped up pitching prospects that we've seen the last couple of years, he's going to be debuting for the Rangers. Might not mean anything. Astros still in the mix. But when it comes to the state of the two Texas Major League Baseball teams, got to confess, kind of hurt. Yeah. Kind of hurt a little bit.
Yeah, and meanwhile, nobody's checking for your top pitching prospects, either of previous years, whether it be Hunter Brown or currently, with it being Spencer Arrighetti. Nobody's checking for your top pitching prospects the way they are this young Leiter kid. Watch this. These are my confessions. I didn't stand on business. I didn't stand on business, as the young people say, man. Yesterday, I confessed that I parked in the handicap spot because I didn't think it necessary to pass up 12 spots just to get to one. I passed up 9 and decided to park in the 10th, and it was still handicapped. But today, when I was driving up, didn't even think about it until I found myself parked in a regular spot. Something in me knew not to park in those handicap spots, because deep down, I think I know that is wrong, even though nobody is parking in them spots. But I gotta confess, I didn't do it back to back. Maybe that's it. I don't want to be the serial handicap spot abuser, right? But
yeah. Oh, so there's a line in the sand with your sliminess.
Either there's a line.
Congratulations.
Either there's a line in the sand, or as I said,
did you get guilted?
Or as I said, I didn't stand on business. I confess. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Speaking of parking spots, I got to confess, I got a little triggered yesterday when I went to get some dinner. I went with the wife. We went to a good barbecue company. Pretty good spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Decided to go get some food. And I technically illegally parked too. I parked in one of the 36 curbside spots that they have. And I got to tell you, from now on, I am parking in the curbside spot at every restaurant I go to, because I don't think these people have adjusted to COVID in the manner in which they should. All of these places, it seems like, still have at least 15 curbside spots. There's never more than two people in them. So my confession is, from now on, I'm parking in the curbside spots just out of spite, because I don't think they've adjusted to the end of all of the necessary curbside spots that they needed during COVID when their businesses were getting shut down. What are we doing here?
Dude,
you don't need 10 curbside spots.
Sound like they adjusted to 2020. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and now it's over.
This is a new thing. People going to do curbside service.
Every place has their whole front row now curbside, and it's like, okay. Like, I think IHOP has curbside spots. Freebirds has curbside spots. Man, I'll park and go in there and get it.
Wingstop.
The other thing about it is, with these curbside spots, is, dude, it's going to take me longer to hit y'all up. I see you behind the counter, and I see my food right there. It's going to take me longer to sit my ass in my car than just go in there and grab it.
I tried to do the Pizza Hut curbside, because I did it from the app, and that was the option. I was just like, sure. I pulled it. I just walked right in and grabbed it.
Because they're grinding in there at Pizza Hut. Like, at Pizza Hut, they normally have like three folks up there. One of them's taking the damn orders. Other one's taking the online orders. Two of them are usually back there getting the pies ready and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, it's a beep, beep, curbside. Like, they're supposed to stop what they're doing, their whole process. Perhaps pizza's going out.
2 feet.
And go out there and walk 2 feet to hand my lazy ass my pizza right there.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
I just walked in and grabbed it, man.
Just go get the food.
Because it's not like they're catering towards curbside service.
Yeah, come on. It's pizza. They deliver.
This feels like a similar energy to my, hey, ain't nobody parking in these handicap parking spots.
Don't try to lump me in with you, slime ball.
You know what?
Look at this slime ball.
If you think that's slime ball, I'm going to have to pivot on my next confession, because, look, I talked about not standing on business, but after hearing what you just had to say, I think I feel differently. I think I've been swayed. Feels like...
Oh, no. This sounds like a slime ball nomination.
Slime me.
Feels like some fake morality out here. I said, deep down, I felt like I knew it was wrong and I didn't park in those spots. But maybe I've been peer pressured by society and this fake morality that y'all got for these handicapped spots that ain't nobody using.
There's a difference between laziness. I'm anti-laziness.
It's the exact same
handicap
thing. But I'm not anti-
Slime ball nomination.
I'm anti-parking there without their, or anti-not parking there with there not being no handicapped people parked there. Somebody even mentioned that. Like, how do you know there's not more people that are handicapped within your building? Because they didn't park in the damn handicapped spots. If there are all of these people who's got these disabilities that I just can't see, and they need these spots, they damn sure ain't parking in the spots. I know that. Feels like the same kind of energy, man. Feels like the same kind of energy. I feel judged unfairly here.
What about the electric car spots? Because I feel like that's taking up a lot, too.
That's actually got a use.
Thank you.
That's actually got a use.
And shout out to 713 on the text line on the tease. They said, Landry, I really hope this confession you just teased has to do with all the damn to-go spots at all the restaurants that are still left over from COVID.
But the handicapped spots
IHOP
are the same.
IHOP has 15.
Look, the way...
Ain't nobody ordering IHOP to-go.
The way handicapped spots
work... McDonald's has four.
It's the same thing.
McDonald's has four.
I wonder if is there an ordinance tied to curbside? Because that's the deal with the handicapped spots. You got to have a certain amount for however big your building is. Well, this is obviously a big-ass building, but we don't have nearly the same right proportion of handicapped folks coming in here. So it's like we're really like just doing this to hit a quota, but these folks ain't parking here because they not here. It's the same thing. It's the same energy. I cannot believe that you followed up my confession with that one. It's the same thing.
No, it's a little different.
Okay,
Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right. I don't really understand this, but for some reason, during the Astros game, I think they showed this commercial. I think it's 65 times, maybe 70. Man, they're making that Jack in the Box popcorn chicken look something special, man. I know damn well if I went there and got it, it's not going to look the same. I'm on kind of a healthy cleanse right now. But
was it the regular popcorn chicken?
Man, they had both.
They used to have the spicy.
Yeah, they had both.
No, the spicy had me in the chokehold, man.
They had both. They have both, and they're advertising it. And I got to tell you, this Jack in the Box popcorn chicken has me feeling some type of way every time it comes on. Goodness gracious.
It's good, man.
Looks delicious. Looks fantastic.
I'm just saying, like, you get me in the right state of mind, you can talk me into almost anything on Jack in the Box menu. You get me in the right frame of mind, I'll go through anything on there.
Pita?
I just need them to bring back my bacon cheddar potato wedges. I don't understand.
What about the pita?
Yeah, I'll rock with the pita.
Tacos.
And now tacos, I was a much poorer man when I ate those. I ain't rich or nothing, but I got a little bit too much money in my pocket to be going tacos.
Man, those tacos are still still good, man.
That was when I had, you know, $37 in my account. And I had to figure it out. Not today. I've worked too damn hard to be eating no tacos from Jack in the Box.
How do you go from you can talk me into anything to dismissing like one of the prime items?
Well, what I'm saying is,
I mean, where is this? Are you
prime items?
Yeah, tacos at Jack in the Box are a prime item.
They're trash.
You throw them in, they're a throw-in.
No,
they're prime. They're up there.
I'll eat them drunk, but they're terrible.
Man, you really got some people fired up with this handicap thing, man.
Fake morality. I don't believe you. I'm looking in the camera right now, YouTube and Twitch, and I'm speaking into the microphone with authority right now. I don't believe any of you people. It's fake.
Because there's 15 of them?
15 handicap spots, not a one handicap park. Go out there and look right now. Take a picture. Go out there and look right now.
The curbside gets me, though. I mean, come on. We need 9? Do y'all have a staff for that? 9?
Yeah, man.
You should see it at the grocery store, man. It's worse at the grocery store.
I actually do curbside grocery store, though.
Nah, HEB, though. That thing gets crowded. Y'all don't go in?
Hell no, man.
I hate going in the grocery store, man.
There is nothing I hate more than going inside the grocery store and having to actually do it. Hate it. But I get you, though. Only sympathizing I have for curbside is if you got, like, we had our youngest 17 months apart. Curbside would have worked for us. They didn't have it back then, but it would have worked for us real good.
On the text line, only Landry can talk about being on a healthy food cleanse 5 seconds after he just talked about eating barbecue last night. It's called turkey, green beans, no bread. That's how you do it, man. That's pretty good.
It's possible, sir.
Sound clean to me.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty clean,
because I would have been on the bread for sure.
Yeah, it's clean. Pills 2 hours after. So, yeah, there you go, bud. You need healthy there somewhere, Chubbs. Landry Locker. Just kidding, sir. Or ma'am. Who knows? Coming up next.
They.
We got a bracket. I want to participate in a bracket. I got 4 of the most hated teams of all time, including one that appears to have died last night. And I'm going to ask, who do we hate the most? And should we be pointing and laughing at this squad, given the current state of one of our beloved squads? In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, should we be laughing that the Warriors appear to have died yesterday? Or should we be thinking about the fact that perhaps that's happening in front of us with the Houston Astros?
Got to take some pleasure somewhere, man. Dance on that grave. Dance on that grave. It's not like the Astros haters are going to hesitate to dance on theirs. Do it.
Okay, so you took some joy in that?
Yeah. Crip walking all over that grave, baby.
All right, so down go the Warriors. Klay Thompson, man. Well, that was bad.
Ofer. I was actually happy to see him go Ofer.
Yeah,
I can't stand him.
Yeah, he's one of the most overrated.
He's the worst. He's the worst one out of the bunch.
He's one of the most overrated players in NBA history.
Well, I mean,
I would rock with Draymond Green before I rock with him.
Now, as a Rockets fan, he did do some of his best work. I will say,
that's cool.
Klay did a lot of his best work against the Rockets, so I got a little PTSD on Klay.
He had those RFLs too. Rick Fox looks wide ass open, man. Good job.
I mean, that's their system.
Yeah, good for you,
that's
man.
That's their system, man.
That's somebody else I can't stand. I couldn't stand Rick Fox.
Steph and KD are getting you those open looks, buddy. Yeah, not enough now, sir. Yeah,
good work if you can get it.
Yeah, good for him.
Now dude can't move.
Yeah, he can't move. He did get hurt. I want to ask this, though. We're going to have a Final Four, most hated squads around here. We're going to break this down. Who you hated the most? And it's going to be a little basketball mixed in with a little football. Because, quite frankly, when it comes to, like, the best of the best with the Astros, I mean, I would have put the Yankees in it, but they never beat you. So, it's cool to hate, but you're kind of punching down when you start hating on the Yankees.
Yeah, but the Yankees, I mean, how much of that has to do with, and a lot of these rivalries, honestly, just as much to do about their fan base, the opposing fan base, as it does the actual team. Because I think what really struck a chord with Astros fans is, A, probably this little brother mentality of, you know, it being the Yankees. And then B, the F. Altuve chance. I think that's part of it.
Team number one is going to be tough to beat. The 1990s Jazz. John Stockton in those short-ass shorts. One of the dirtiest players to ever do it. Jeff Hornacek licking his damn hands with that thin-ass hair and those short shorts, looking pasty as hell. Almost naked whenever they wore white jerseys. Greg Ostertag. Goodness gracious.
Oh, I couldn't stand him.
I told you about when I was talking crap about him behind his family.
Did, yeah. You know, you have told this story.
Yeah, I was basically, after the game, I was sitting where the families were, and me and my friend were saying that he sucks so bad, he should basically end himself. And these people kept looking back at us like weird. Ended up being him, man. It ended up being his family when he came out. And I still asked for his shoes. Didn't get them.
Oh, I wonder why.
Karl Malone. One of the best scorers in NBA history, but really dirty player. Kind of a thorn in the side. And then you had the Byron Russells.
Man, I hated everybody on it. Shandon Anderson.
Shandon Anderson.
I hated every single
Howard Eisley.
Remember Carl Malone?
Oh, Howard Eisley.
Adam Keefe. Remember Adam Keefe?
Yeah.
Remember Carl Malone used to talk to himself during the
ball? Yeah, he talked to the ball.
They all had a thing. Carl Malone talked to himself, and Jeff Hornacek rubbed the side of his face as like a wave to his family or something like that.
Jerry Sloan with his Thrift Town suits.
Yeah.
Always yelling at people, looking pissed. Yeah, the Utah Jazz team number one. Is there anyone that you hate as much? Their first round opponent, the Golden State Warriors, kind of a thorn in the side of the Rockets. Let's use the Kevin Durant Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry with the mouthpiece. I feel like people talk themselves into that.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, Draymond, obvious reasons. KD, you go from Oklahoma City, you go join the Warriors. Steve Kerr always has something to say.
Yeah, always. Always. You can just say Draymond. Players
come and go.
Draymond in and of himself.
So, do you hate the Warriors or do you hate the Jazz more?
Yeah, this one isn't particularly close for me. It's going to be the Jazz by a landslide. Like, at least the Warriors, and I don't love them. I'm dancing on their grave, like I said. But at least they were great. At least they did win championships. They won four titles over the years. It's an actual dynasty. It's an actual dynasty. The Rockets and these Jazz, like, you lost to a bunch of schmucks. I get they went back-to-back finals. But that ain't no dynasty. That ain't no legacy.
No, they never won.
Just a bunch of schmucks, man. So
ugly-ass uniforms, too.
Ugly-ass uniforms,
man,
on top of that.
Man, those uniforms were trash.
They should have stuck with the purples that they had before that or whatever they
those
went to after that.
Trash, too.
They're better than that, whatever mountain thing they were trying to go with, the light purple. Honestly, that was a bad era, especially at the time. I feel like I've gone back and come around on the Rockets uniforms at that time, but at the time, I thought that was ass ugly as well.
Did you like the Karl Malone where he put his hand on his head and dunk? Did you think that was cool?
Man, I don't know who he
thought
he was.
He used to always do that, do the hand on the head. That was, of all the, like, signature things, that might be one of the corniest in league history.
Yeah.
You're just dunking normal and you're putting your hand on your head.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Dog, you 6'10", man.
And swaggerless.
Yes.
Swaggerless. No swag at all. And you're going to try to do something mildly swaggy? Sit your ass down.
And then they would try to get the guy on the squad that was, like, the least corny, and he would just look terrible. Brian Russell.
Oh.
Like, on any other team, you'd be like, all right, this guy's okay. Then he goes on the Jazz. It's remember Antoine Big Dog Carr when he was washed up with those
goggles?
Oakley shades?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Antoine Carr?
Lord.
Remember these cats, man.
Howard Eisley.
Howard Eisley, man.
He was corny as hell, too. He'd come in there trying to run the pick and roll for Stockton.
Another one, swaggerless.
What about Jeff Foster?
Oh, I forgot about Jeff Foster. That's a good one.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a good pool.
They never had a player that I liked. Like, there was never, like, a player where I was like, all right, yeah, I can get down with this. Man, I hated the Jazz. Absolute trash.
Maybe Jacques Vaughn. But he didn't play.
Are you kidding me? But Jacques Vaughn?
But he didn't play. No, I mean,
did you like Jacques Vaughn?
Yeah, what's likable about Jacques Vaughn?
I liked him at Kansas, that's all. I thought he was good at Kansas. What?
Jacques Vaughn?
He was the least problematic of all of them, but it was probably because I saw the least of them.
And then they got Scott Padgett on the back end.
Scott Padgett, that's right.
Man, that team was corny. So Jazz advance.
Yeah.
Next one, Patriots dynasty. That's about 20 years worth. It's really kind of hard because there were some times where I liked what they were working with, and there are other times where I was just like, man, I'm tired of these guys. I'm sick of them.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Patriots dynasty, where's your hate level, healthy hate, when it comes to the Patriots dynasty?
Yeah, there's a healthy amount of it. I would say it's mostly, though, like, just, I think that one is actually tied to some envy. Because, I mean, if you can tell me that you'll give my local football team 20 plus years of sustained success, like, I think I'm just as annoyed by the success as anything. So, like, the scandals don't bother me as much. I thought Deflategate was dumb. I thought even Spygate was, to a certain degree, pretty dumb. Now, they had something else in between there that was pretty damn serious. But, yeah, I don't hate the Patriots nearly as much as I hate those two basketball teams that we just talked about. I can tell you that.
Next one, most hated squads, taking on the Patriots. So the Jazz are up there. The current Chiefs dynasty. Do you have any hate for the current Chiefs dynasty?
Not the dynasty itself or the Chiefs themselves. Just the one moment. The one moment that I don't really want to relive right now, but we all know what that one moment is. It was 4 years ago. It happened. And I do think that it's worth pointing out that that is a very seminal moment in the Chiefs dynasty, right? It's a big part of it. So don't feel great about that, but it did happen. You know, the rest of it I'm cool with. The rest of it I can live. I just don't like how it started because it happened at Houston's expense.
So we're going to have to give this to the Jazz.
Oh, man, there's no – you had the Jazz in there early, and I'm like, okay, good luck on topping that because I hate them with every fiber in my being.
Very unlikable squad.
To this day.
No doubt.
I think Vernon Maxwell is still, like, liked in this community for all of the trolling of the Jazz fans that he does on Twitter. I think that's the sole thing that's got him still relevant because he is willing to go out there and troll the Jazz on the internet.
Yeah, dude did quit.
Yeah.
During a playoffs.
And how do you make up for it? By trolling the Jazz. By being enemy number one of the Utah Jazz.
People mentioning the St. Louis Cardinals. Pujols and...
They got to be up there.
All them Braves.
Got to be up there.
All those years.
Got to be up there.
Kind of thorn in the side, so little healthy amount of sports hate. Good news for the Astros, if you were looking for it. Justin Verlander going to pitch Friday. Framber Valdez going to be back for the road trip. So the top two guys in your rotation, one future Hall of Famer, one guy that has been kind of knocking on being an ace. Those two guys are going to be back, so... Much needed for the Astros. How do they look when they come back? That's to be determined, but the Astros needed this news. They got it. And if they can avoid the sweep today and maybe get some sort of momentum, maybe they can dig themselves out of this early hole that they put themselves in.
Yeah, man, it's the biggest thing. Like, and after this, now, like, obviously depending on how they look, but now it's like, can they put it together? Because it's not like they haven't gotten or like they didn't get quality, you know, or something close to it in their two most recent starts, and then you just didn't get enough from your bat. So, I mean, the issue is that, you know, if one thing's not working or one thing starts working, the other one doesn't. So you insert these guys into your rotation, and that's great. But timely hitting still an issue. Hitting good pitching still sometimes an issue. So, yeah, it'd be nice today in this day game to see, you know, some semblance of offense today, but you know, before it's too late, before it's like the end of the game and it doesn't matter. Garbage.
Whenever
runs.
The offense is there, the pitching's not. Whenever the pitching's there, the offense is not. That's a sign of a bad start. Yep. So we'll see if they can turn it around. Landry Locker, B. Scott, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Coming up next around the National Football League. The Texans, they're pretty dang popular. If you don't believe me, we'll hear from one of the faces of the franchise next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.